Good evening, everyone. I hope you're doing well. I'm your president, Patrick Casey, and welcome to this week's weekly address. So to begin, I just need one person to message me to let me know that they can hear me. You know, a few weeks ago, I thought my mic was on and we got 15 minutes into the weekly address and I was told that no one could hear me. So spirit of not making me have to, okay, good, good. Confirmation. I'm being messaged across many different platforms and devices, so that's good to hear. Well, our white pill of the week is Amran. It was a successful conference. My speech seemed to be pretty well received. We had our fellow Amer, James Alsup, give a fantastic speech as well. And despite the best efforts of the opposition of Antifa, the conference went very well, right? You know, you give them an A for effort, but they weren't able to do much more than catch a few criminal charges. They didn't stop much of anything. So that is good. We're going to do an Amran roundup towards the end. Not towards the end, maybe towards the middle. But for now, that will have to suffice. But we will do our activism roundup now. I know we had stuff happen in the past week. I don't think that we have posted it yet. I know you guys have been, a number of you have been pretty good about getting out there. Obviously, lots of flyering happening. So make sure to keep that up. Make sure you're doing it legally. Make sure you're not, you stick to public bulletin boards. Don't tape anything. I'd be very careful with the stickers. You know, make sure you check with a local attorney to be sure that you can get, you know, you can put flyers up and stickers up in certain ways. So all right, I'm opening up our Twitter page here. All right, there we are. So the roundup for the last week, we had our videos from the Stand Against Racism rally get posted. Props to our video team for another fantastic video. I guess there are two videos, but really it was one that we chopped up. The Stand Against Racism rally was, you know, at first we got there and it seemed pretty lame, and they just had back-to-back speakers, so we didn't have much of a chance to, you know, get too close and ask questions without. You know, we figured if we went up there and we just started interrupting the speeches to ask questions, people would have gotten pretty pissed off and not talked to us. So we ended up, you know, staying. We were on the side street. So we were on the sidewalk about, I don't know, 20 feet away from where the main event was taking place. And we were able to get people when they were coming and going. And you saw basically all of the interactions that we had with the liberal boomer in particular being the most interesting. As I discussed, I don't think I mentioned this on Twitter. So unfortunately, the cameras stopped rolling after the interview. And as the, you know, those of you who watched the video will remember that the guy's wife, who was standing off camera, urged him to leave and he started swearing at us and then they left. Well, as he was leaving, you know, I told him to have a nice day and whatever else. And some of our guys were kind of, you know, bantering him a bit. And nothing too offensive. And he ended up flipping us off and saying, we need a new civil war. So that's what's on these minds, you know, the minds of these deranged liberal boomers, right? Not all boomers. We like our boomers. But yeah, these people are absolutely nuts. They consume nothing but Rachel Maddow and whatever else all day. And, you know, to be convinced that there aren't leftists around anymore is about the most delusional thing you can believe, right? I mean, you can just look at the people protesting any right-wing event, be it a Trump rally or something else, right? In many cases, they're flying communist flags, and there are a fair amount of them, right? I think they're more of us overall, but, you know, given that their views are acceptable or even perhaps beneficial within the neoliberal soft tyranny that we find ourselves, they don't really have to worry about, there's not as much of a social cost. They wear masks because they go out to commit acts of violence and crimes and they don't want to be identified. So yeah, it looks like we had photos from a park cleanup that took place a few weeks ago in DC. A lot of firing. And that was about it. So fairly quiet week in terms of activism. We had close to 40 people from the organization at AMRN. I don't think we did a final count, but my estimate is that it would be somewhere around there. So let's talk about AMRN. AMRN was a massive success. Henry Wolf and Jared Taylor deserve quite a bit of credit for throwing yet another successful event, despite the odds, despite everything, all of the forces in society trying to ensure that people with our views cannot get together. It was a resounding success. So it was for our organization a big success in particular, right? Having two speakers up there was huge. I think that was the first time that's ever happened for our organization. We also had an iPad with us, and we were using that to sign people up on the spot. I think we got at least a dozen people to sign up. We sold a lot of merch, a lot of books. Again, this stuff goes to the organization. It's not lining my pockets with the money. We even had a fellow come up and give me basically $1,000 in cash, which was pretty cool. Which again, I didn't get a chance to talk to him. The guy walked up, put it in my hands. I said, thank you. And then he just walked away. And I was meaning to try to find him, but I didn't get a chance to bump into him. I'm assuming he wanted that money to go to the organization. So I did not take that as a personal donation. But overall, it was a good weekend. It was a good chance to network. I met a lot of great people. We had a good chance to spread our message. And I'm sure there will be many people who will apply because they met us, even if they didn't do it on the spot. Moreover, we got quite a few emails from people who have interesting things going on all over the world, really, not just all over the country. So one of the main, obviously going to enjoy the speeches and to learn quite a bit about the various subjects discussed that's a main draw, certainly. But the networking is really the best part of these events. So I would highly encourage everyone to attend the next conference, which will be probably somewhere around the same time next year, although I'm sure there'll be some variation in terms of the date, but you should probably start thinking about that if you want to attend. I'm not sure when it will be announced, but just kind of have that on the horizon. I want to see if we can get at least 50 people there, right? So that's going to be more than we had. That would be more than we had this year or any other year. But I mean, any large gathering of well-adjusted people who share our views, we want to be there, right? Assuming that we're invited, we're not going to try to, burst in and uninvited to some private conference somewhere. But we should absolutely be at these things. We should be networking with people who already share our views or are very close to our views in order to spread awareness of who we are, what we're about, encourage people to join, but also to let people know why it's important to do activism, right? There are a lot of people who might think, oh, why do banner drops? Why do this? Why do that? Well, we have to justify what we're doing, right? There is a big risk that is entailed from doing activism. And it's important for people to understand not only why they should consider doing activism, but why they should as well support people who are out there risking their safety, risking, getting doxxed and all kinds of other things while doing activism. So let's talk about, I want to remind you guys of what our activism policy is. So I think most of you are probably aware, but never hurts to hammer this point home. We have a very official process for which activism, that must be followed in order for activism to occur. What that means is that you have to fill out an activism proposal, right? An activism proposal doesn't consist of DMing me saying, hey, can I do this action? What that means is you need to go to your chapter leader and you guys can work on an activism proposal, right? We have a form that you fill out. It's very formal. The form it's just one or two pages, I believe. You fill out the form and then you have your chapter leader, not you, your chapter leader, turn it into the activism department. And the activism department will take a look, will determine whether or not it's up to speed, right? It's, you know, they'll work with you, change the messaging, change some things. And then once you get it officially approved, then you are good to go. But it's absolutely vital to the success of our organization that everyone is on the same page about whether or not an action can be used. Because the issue was, before we implemented these policies, people were just kind of on their own. They'd go out, they'd do an action, turn it in. And, you know, oftentimes what would happen before is it wouldn't be what we were looking for. And we are never going to post a mediocre action on social media simply because people put their time, energy, and money into it. That might sound a bit draconian and harsh, but it's, we have to keep high standards for everything that we do. But now, we've had this in place since the beginning of AIM, with the activism proposal process, you will never have to worry about that as long as you follow it. So if you know, if the muse strikes and you want to go out and do some action on your own, well, you shouldn't do that. Also, that applies to non-AIM activism. We cannot have you guys going out and, you know, if you want to say, you know, if you come to me and say, hey, I want to like go wear some goofy costume and stand on the street corner screaming, you know, but saying, oh, but it won't be AIM. Chances are we're not going to be okay with you doing that. There are some instances in which it is okay for you as a member of this organization to do non-AIM activism. But it's a highly contextual thing. A lot of it depends on, you know, what you have going on. Not what you have going on. You know, are you doing it with a different group? What's the tone? What's the messaging? Right? Because as a member of this organization, technically everything you do reflects on us. So that's something to keep in mind. And we just, you know, we can't have you, like, so let's say you go do something really goofy or embarrassing. Well, if it gets back, you know, if people find out that you were a member of AIM, then it could make us look bad. So just keep that in mind. I'm not totally ruling out non-AIM activism. You can't do activism with other dissident right groups. You can do it with your college Republicans or some other, you know, perhaps non-partisan group, right? If you want to go participate in some protest against high taxes with your local libertarian, your local Tea Party group. Well, you know, maybe there are better uses of your time, but you know, that would be an example of something that's okay. But given that it's very highly subjective and contextual, go to your chapter leader. You can come to me as well, and we'll let you know. So we have a number of events coming up. The 4th of July weekend in DC, we are going to be doing something. I'm not 100% sure. We're starting to get to work on that now. But I would like to encourage you guys to come out. You can stay at the HQ free of charge. Granted, you might have to endure some relatively Spartan-like accommodations. Though we had people out here for the politics and prose action. I don't think it was too Spartan-like, right? People at the very least had air mattresses and so forth. So. But we will have more information on that announced on Mattermost probably sometime next week. But it's definitely good to put that on your calendar and try to make it out. We are also going to be doing a national action in Texas in August. I will post on Mattermost the exact dates and information there. And we're going to start, you know, that's going to be a big one. That's going to be one you don't want to miss. We're going to have a lot of people there. It's going to be a great time. There's plenty of time for you to take off work, for you to save up money, for you to, you know, try to do some crowd funding at the local level to see if people can, you know, if you can get out there. I'd like to see at least one person from every chapter out at the event in Texas. That's definitely going to be the biggest action of the summer. So again, be on the lookout on Mattermost for more information there. Additionally, there's going to be a North Atlantic retreat at some point during the summer. If you're on the North Atlantic Mattermost team, you will have seen a post for that. So get in touch with the fellow who posted it, and we'll get you set up there. That's going to be a good time. I'm hoping to make it out there. And again, yeah, there will be more information on Mattermost. So I can give you a few updates on the lawsuit as well, because I know that though AIM is not involved in the lawsuit, though Identity Europa is, it is something that we are technically, it's still relevant to not only our future as an organization, but to the broader dissident right as well. So I think we're nearing the end of discovery. And, you know, there's no evidence that anyone who was in Identity Europa or the organization Identity Europa itself ever was engaged in the type of activity that the other side is alleging, namely that Identity Europa, the claim that Identity Europa went to Charlottesville to commit acts of racially motivated violence with the goal of denying the civil liberties of the other side. If anything, the opposite was the case, right? If anything, the opposite was the case. People who were anti-white, even if they themselves were white, right? Self-hating white people and many non-whites who harbor racial animus against white people, used violence to effectively create a state of anarchy that the establishment used as a pretext to shut down the rally, right? We had a permit for the rally. Though I was not an organizer, I did attend, not really in any official capacity for IE. I just kind of went on my own with some people I knew. And we peacefully entered, peacefully exited. Many people on the right weren't so lucky. They were, you know, subjected to various attacks, just trying to get into the park, trying to peacefully enter the park. So not only is this lawsuit vital for the success of the dissident right, but I mean, it's going to play a large role in how all of this is remembered, because this lawsuit is how the establishment overall decided to attack the rally goers, right? People who actually committed crimes there or were, you know, accused of committing crimes were, you know, granted, there were criminal charges set upon them, right? Made against them. But I think it's almost a concession that, you know, most people who attended, the overwhelming majority, as far as I can tell, didn't do anything illegal, right? That's why they're, you know, no one, these people didn't get arrested for things. So, I mean, they're claiming that we did, but there's no evidence of it, so forth. So basically with this lawsuit, the discovery phase is coming to an end. And so what that means is we're going to be coming up on a point where Identity Europa as a corporation that, you know, is no longer basically in operation, though it exists on paper, will be, have the opportunity to have a judgment granted for or against us. By us, I mean me, because I am the only member of Identity Europa at this point. And I'm not named personally in this lawsuit, which I'm very thankful for. But at the same time, it's, you know, there's quite a lot riding on it nonetheless. Well, there's a chance that Identity Europa could get off, right? And that would be very good. There's also the chance that the judge says, well, Identity Europa is guilty of these things and they need to pay, I don't know, $1 million, whatever. And then I think that the greatest chance is that it will continue to trial. So this could well extend into 2020. And then, I mean, that's a big part of their strategy. They're trying to bleed the dissident right dry. They know that legal expenses can be very expensive, and believe me, they are. And as a result, they want to, yeah, like I said, they want to bleed the dissident right dry. I'm overall optimistic. Charlottesville is somewhat of an anomaly legally, but at the same time, you know, they're looking for evidence in chat logs and whatever else of, you know, some people saying that they went to Charlottesville to commit acts of racial violence. I can't speak for other groups, but I would say that I would be surprised if anyone, if any evidence exists on the right of anyone saying that, right? Not obviously it didn't happen within Identity Europa. I'd be surprised if that happened to anyone. So we're going to have to wait to see how these things play out. It will be interesting to say the least, and this is obviously a lawsuit that has national, if not international, attention. So definitely very important stuff. But just to clarify, we have not turned over information that will be lead to people getting doxed, right? Nor will we. I think that the discovery is basically coming to an end, and you know, it just didn't happen. People do have a constitutional right to anonymously practice, you know, engage in political activity, right? That's something that has existed since the beginning of America, right? Many founding fathers wrote under aliases. So, you know, now to the extent that that will hold up overall, we'll see, but overall, it's very, very, very unlikely that anyone on our side will get doxxed, or at least anyone from Identity Europa will get doxxed as a result of discovery. And I believe me, I've taken great lengths to ensure that that we push back on any attempts to gain, you know, that kind of personal information. So let's talk about the payment processor. Well, we were kicked off of Cash App. Fun while it lasted. We probably made $100 as an organization just for signing people up. So thank you, Cash App, for the free money. Also, a number of you got five free dollars. You're welcome. But we do have two payment options. We have the PO Box, which you can find on our website. I believe it's on Mattermost as well under resources. We do have another payment processor that is available under resources as well. But beyond that, we are working on a more long-term solution. And I actually finally finished our application process for that today. So I'm looking forward to seeing that develop. I think this is going to be a pretty good way of doing things. We'll have to see. Nothing's perfect. But fortunately, you know, with the PO Box, we can always facilitate these kinds of, you know, economic transactions to keep the organization going. Speaking of keeping the organization going, thank you to our patron liaison who's doing a fantastic job of helping that program grow. I would like to encourage all patrons who are behind on their patron dues to get back to it. Unlike regular dues, you know, we're not going to demand that you pay back dues for, you know, your patronage, though it would certainly be welcomed. This organization is doing okay financially. We need to be doing better, though. We're not, you know, bankrupt, but we do need to kind of step it up. And I'm going to be doing quite a bit to fundraise, reaching out to individuals to try to, you know, solicit larger donations. We're working on building a mailing list that we can use to fundraise because, you know, many on the dissident right who have been doing this for a while and who have enough money to, you know, pay for, you know, pay their staff well and so forth, keep the lights on, all the important stuff. And also Conservatism Inc. and most nonprofits in general do really well with mailing lists. So that is a big thing that we're going to be working on in the future. And again, you know, the post office is the postal system is something that we can't get kicked off of, right? I mean, at least not, there would have to be drastic changes to a society in order for that to happen. But I would like to encourage you guys, if you have an extra 50, 150, 300 plus per month, please consider becoming a patron. It is one of, I mean, if you're, especially if you can't do activism, I would just strongly ask you to, I mean, even if you're not giving that to us, and I would hope that you would, give it to Song, give it to Amran, give it to Vidar, right? The organ, you know, the dissident right can only function if the people who are above ground, who are operating openly, taking risks, have you know, substantial support, financial or otherwise, from people who are, you know, having families, working jobs, not doing activism and so forth. So, you know, the $50 a month is something I think most people can do. We have patrons who are, you know, working service industry jobs while they're in college. They're, you know, given an extra 50 per month, right? This is not going to give me pay raises. I don't make much money at all, and I'm fine with where I am right now because we have bigger goals for the organization. And in fact, I would like to be able to hire more people, right, to give more people, allow them to become resilient, right, to have jobs that make them have to worry less about doxing, to allow them to do something that's more fulfilling than what they're doing. And just, you know, every time we pay for a new staff member in this organization, we just get so much more out of it. We're just, it's so much more successful. So again, if you are interested in becoming a patron, and I would please ask you to consider doing so, if you have the extra 50 per month, please get in touch with Carl on the server and he will help you get set up. So I'm excited to announce that we are going to be doing a weekly OPSEC seminar similar to how we do these, right? Probably on Discord, if not another platform, in which we will go over every week the basics and some advanced OPSEC tips, right? Looking back on the doxes that happened at the tail end of IE, most of those doxes were low-hanging fruit, right? People offering up their personal information that, you know, on LinkedIn, on Google, something, or, you know, maybe not Google, but LinkedIn, Facebook in particular, Twitter maybe. And all of that stuff is very easily preventable. And that's good news. Now, I'm not blaming those people. In fact, I am somewhat blaming myself, because it is our job in leadership to never assume that you guys know the right way to do things. A lot of you guys already do. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. Point is if someone joins this organization, they need to be fully aware of the potential consequences and how you can go about doing that. Now, there are a number of people who got doxed. In fact, I think the overwhelming majority of people who got doxed as a result of the IE leaks are doing well now. I think there are only a few that I can think of that are still looking for a job, but it hasn't really been that long. In some of their cases, it's just been a month or two. Now, obviously, they don't want to go through that. Thanks to the Dox fundraiser that we've been able to do, we've been able to give out thousands of dollars to people. And that's great, because we want to help our people when they put themselves on the line and pay the price. But the point is with doxing, guys, is that, you know, it can be very trying. I think more often than not, the stress, the most damage done oftentimes, or the thing that makes it the worst for people, is the fear. It's the anxiety of going through all of that. A lot of people went through all of that only to not have nothing happen, right? There were people who were freaking out. My life is over. Everything's done. I'm going to have to leave the country. Well, a lot of those people, nothing happened to them, right? In some cases, some people's employers were okay with it. They said, sure, you're nonviolently practicing your constitutional right to political activity, political expression. That's good. In some cases, people did get fired. It's unfortunate. But most of those people bounced back. And some of the, I know of at least a few cases where people are making more money now in their new jobs. And those people understand that if they don't put that personal information out there on the internet, under a LinkedIn, under a Facebook, no one's going to find it. It's really hard. Like, it's pretty hard to find out where someone works unless you, I mean, Antifa is not at the point where they're hiring like PIs to go after people. I mean, it's maybe it's been done before. I don't know. The only time I've heard of that happening to someone on the right is when they commit a crime. Like if they, in one instance, I heard of someone who flyered like a high school, not anyone in our organization. And yeah, I mean, that's illegal. You can't do that. And so yeah, they hired a PI and tracked him down. So, but again, the PI, what they work with a lot of times is just information that people have volunteered about themselves on the internet. So I would like to strongly impress upon you a few basic points. We're going to go over these more in depth at our weekly OPSEC seminars, but just use different nicknames across different platforms. I would include Mattermost. I would not use the same thing on Mattermost that you use some, you know, on Twitter or somewhere else, right? Because that's going to be able to link things. That's going to be more breadcrumbs. I would not use your first name, your real first name, as an alias, believe it or not. You know, because you're giving the other side information there when you didn't have to. Again, getting your employer info off the internet, if you can, is vital. I would say just deleting normie social media in general is good. You want people to be able to Google your name and not have anything come up. Now, there are services like Delete Me that can be used to, you know, delete a lot of your personal info, like right, your home address, cell phone, email, stuff like that. I've heard that Delete Me works. You can also petition, I believe, to websites like Been Verified in My Life to have your stuff removed. And that's good to do too. So guys, I know people who have been doing this for decades, and they've been able to build up great careers, families, without having, you know, while being able to enjoy their constitutional right to peacefully and nonviolently participate in anonymous political activity. So just keep that in mind. It is doable. But, you know, life goes on after doxing. It does. No one ends up starving in a ditch. But you also want to make sure that if you do get doxed, you have a clean dox. This is why it's important not to get carried away with the shit posting, not to say indispensable things in jest or seriously, right? We are well-adjusted, patriotic, Americans of European descent, we are standing up against blatant injustices that we are being subjected to by a corrupt ruling class. We absolutely have the moral high ground. But, you know, if in your docs you're just, you know, saying all sorts of obscure, outlandish things, well, you quickly lose the moral high ground there. So just keep that in mind. So beyond that, it's important to have a sense of perspective, right? We are fighting for the survival of our people. We are fighting to ensure that our children grow up in a better world than the one that we currently have. We are fighting to ensure that our children do not grow up in a clown world, right? I don't have kids, but my hypothetical future children sure as hell better have something better than what I have today. And I mean, personally, I have an all right life. There's a lot of uncertainty. It's not exactly normal, but it's interesting at the very least. And I have tons of good friends and so forth. So I'm not complaining about me personally so much, but yeah, we don't want our kids to have to worry about just fighting for survival, right? We want them to grow up in a society where like the great debates are over just, you know, I don't know, ethanol subsidies or something like that. So how do we do that, right? Well, we have to make a stand. We have to have at least some of us go out into public, create public displays of defiance against the powers that be. We have to engage in activism, lawful and peaceful activism, to call into question in public the legitimacy of the current ruling class and their sick ruling ideology, right? Because there is a soft totalitarianism that stifles dissent. It shuts people up. And that is why it is so powerful for us to go out there and to do this. Believe me, there are many people, names you would recognize, larger names too, who support what we are doing. And they recognize that we are making a heroic stand against the most powerful people in the Western world, if not the world overall. Because make no mistake, we are absolutely threatening the interests of elites, legally and nonviolently threatening them, I should add. And that's why we're even more of a threat. Because if we were engaging in acts of violence, if we were engaging in illegal activity, it would be very easy for them to shut us down, and they would love for us to be doing that, right? For all the lamentation over, oh, right-wing violence is so bad, we've got to stop it. The left doesn't want it to stop. The left wants people on the right to be violent because that is how the establishment knows how to deal with these people. By these people, I mean people who are dissenting, right? They know how to deal with violence. They know how to deal with illegal activity because this classical liberal system based around the rule of law is already set up to deal with people who are violent and illegal. But unfortunately for the powers that be and their you know, sadistic and subversive plans for the future, it's actually not illegal to have the wrong opinion. And that is why they resort to the dehumanization, to the unpersoning, to the going after someone's employer, which by the way, that does not mean when someone gets fired for having the wrong opinion, that does 9 times out of 10, that does not mean that their employer is so disgusted that they have to let him go. No, our people are more often than not the best among their coworkers and their peers, right? So what that means is that people's employers kind of don't have a choice. Sure, they have a choice, but it's the kind of thing of, you know, if you give someone a choice between firing someone and finding your, you know, firing someone or having their business destroyed through a massive mass media PR campaign, yeah, which do you think they're going to choose? Which do you think they're going to choose? It's almost a non-choice. So regardless of how quote unquote based your boss is, more often than not, they crack under pressure. Now, sometimes with these doxes, you see that someone gets doxed and it kind of disappears, right? People forget about it. So, but keep that in mind, that the Eye of Sauron is one of the most powerful forces, right? It's an unprecedented amount of force. It is an unprecedented power, the ability to direct the anger of the mob at a certain business, a certain individual is very powerful. So again, even if an employer says, well, even if I don't agree with this person's identitarian views, they're a law-abiding citizen and they, you know, they're just well within their constitutional right. well, you know, you're going to have multiple articles come out, activist campaigns, and so forth. So it is system mandated that people with our views are unemployable. Now, again, it doesn't always work out. And, you know, more often than not, people almost basically always bounce back. It's just a question of how long. But there's a system mandate that says that employers don't have the choice. And this is important to keep in mind because you have people on the fake right and the left in general who argue for things. You know, they make the case that, well, you know, people lose their jobs because racism is bad and society sees it as bad, so no one wants to hire a no. I have seen this dynamic play out, and I think we all know that that is not the case. It is something far deeper, because this apparatus of social control that exists, that has been created to keep us confined, to keep us silent and afraid, has to find extra legal ways to deal with dissent. And that is exactly what we see with the doxing, with the dehumanization, the unpersoning. But you know what? These strategies only embolden people. They only strengthen their convictions. It might scare some people off from participating. Sure, sure. But I can tell you that the most dedicated people, the kind of people that we need to win over, are not going to be turned off by this. Even if they get doxed and they have to find a new job, even if they decide they can't do activism, this doesn't kill their beliefs. This doesn't convince them that they're doing the wrong thing. If anything, it convinces them of the contrary. You know, to find out that, oh, society says you can't have these views. Society says that if you believe that it's okay to be white, you're a hateful, terrible person who needs to be rendered unemployable. That's not the kind of thing that convinces people that, well, oh, you know, I've been doing it wrong, right? I've had all of these bigoted views. Now I need to fully integrate into a society that says that my existence is not okay. No, that doesn't happen. And that is why I truly believe that while these things are obstacles to us, that while this soft totalitarianism is absolutely a thorn in our side, it is not going to stop us, right? It cannot stop us. Because in order to stop us, it would have to kill the strength of our convictions. And as I said before, this disgusting and unjust behavior has the opposite effect. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind when you get disillusioned about hearing that someone got doxxed. You need to have that perspective. And you also need to have the perspective of what our ancestors endured, right? In order for you to get here today, thousands, if not millions or billions of people in the past had to endure far worse than finding a new job, right? Far worse than that. Our ancestors endured starvation, famine. Can you imagine if everyone you know is dying of starvation, right? That's horrific. It's hellish. Can you imagine the same for people dying of disease? See all of your loved ones, everyone you've come to know in your small village, just wither away, covered in, you know, pestilent boils and so forth, right? That's no good. But people kept on. People didn't give up, right? Look at what, you know, people fighting for labor rights in this country, regardless of what you think about that. Although I would say that back in the day, I think it was pretty clear cut that, you know, the worker was getting absolutely screwed over by, you know, industrialists and so forth. They were risking getting shot in the face. And in many times they did get shot in the face by these big bosses, right? Wealthy industrialists and so forth. They kept going, right? Because they understood that the only way out is through. And that is the only way out for us as well, is going through this. We cannot delude ourselves into thinking that someone's going to come along and make it better, right? There's a good chance that someone can come along and make things a little better, but we're going to have to do everything that we can, and we cannot simply sit back and say, well, someone's going to come along. Trump's going to come along and take it, right? I heard a lot of that during 2018. Oh, there's no need to do activism. There's no need to network, right? Trump's doing great. Trump's doing great. Trump is not doing great. And I think everyone gets that now, right? There were some people that was thinking, they were thinking Andrew Yang is going to come along. He's going to give us $1,000 per month for a birthright. That's pretty epic. That's what it costs for me to tune out and accept my demographic dispossession. Well, you know, Yang's not going anywhere. And while I think under better governance, perhaps under identitarian or nationalistic governance, I wouldn't be opposed to UBI at all, particularly if it do, if it replaced the absurd, absurdly bloated welfare state that we have now. But that's beside the point. The point is, looking for the next meme candidate to come along and save us is not the way that we have to do things. We are going to have to continue building our social capital. We're going to have to continue building up our networks. And guys, there are many ways that these networks could come in handy in the future. There was a window of opportunity in 2016 where forces on the mainstream right who had serious, serious connections were very interested in the human capital that the alt-right had amassed, right? The individual, the skilled, educated, talented individuals that had come together under the alt-right banner. Well, what happened that? What happened to that? Hail Trump. Hail our people. Hail victory. That is exactly what happened to that. The sheer, the extent to which that drunken gaffe ruined the prospects of, ruined the potential for the alt-right to turn into something that could have institutional power, that could whisper in the ears of wealthy, you know, powerful elites, cannot be overstated. Cannot be overstated. It was, that killed the alt-right. The alt-right, it took until basically Charlottesville for the alt-right to officially die. And now by the alt-right, I mean that particular term and brand. If you still use the term alt-right, which I would hope you don't, to refer to this area of the Overton window, of the political spectrum, then sure, obviously interest in these views has only grown. But I would argue that the term dissident right is better. Dissident right isn't linked to any individual failed narcissist. It is a term that, you know, some perhaps have used more than others, but it's nevertheless something that, you know, and it really does get to cut to the core of what we are. We are on the right. Even if you favor socialist policies and you're less bothered about things by, you know, you're socially liberal as an identitarian, sure, that's a position you can have, I suppose. We're on the right. And we're on the right because what is considered right-wing at a point in time is largely historically contextual, right? There has been a leftward shift since basically the French Revolution that, or you could argue, basically since the Enlightenment, we could say. But it really, the French Revolution is really kind of the turning point there. There has been a leftward shift, a shift away from order, towards entropy, towards moving away from whatever is viewed as reactionary, bourgeois, traditional, and so forth. And that has been that, you know, there was a point in time where you could, yeah, I mean, the French, maybe there are points, you know, 100, 200 years ago, you could go back to and say, okay, that was good, right? Even though it wasn't, you know, even though it was fairly, it was classical liberal. It wasn't, you know, as right wing as other, you know, factions at the time, it was still, you know, it was still for white people, right? Sure. I'm not going to totally disagree. I mean, America basically up until the Civil War was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. It wasn't perfect, but we're not going to be able to wind back the clock. That's something to keep back in something you should keep in the back of your head. But the point is to be right wing is to recognize your point in history. Are you someone who says, yes, this left wing shift should continue? Right. If you're a liberal, maybe you want to say, oh, well, let's move it a little bit to the left, right? Well, we don't want to, you know, institute communism, but at the same time, well, we want there to be more, you know, we want minorities to have more welfare or something. Sure. If you're conservative, you say, ah, this leftward shift, it's no good. We should go back 20 years, right? But to be someone who gets it, you understand that you have to stop the process altogether. Now, how that happens is a subject for much debate. Moldbug had some interesting ideas there, to say the least. But the point is, yeah, a lot of people say, well, we're not right or left. No, we absolutely are. But we shouldn't be cartoonishly and stereotypically right wing. We should be open to recruiting from the left. We should be open to non-libertarian economic positions, while at the same time being open to people who do have more conservative libertarian leanings on economics. Absolutely. So just important to keep that in mind, because there's still every now and then I hear from people, oh, I'm not right wing. Well, you're on the right. Right. But was there any doubt as to whether or not you're going to be voting for Donald Trump in the 2016 election? Probably not. you know, if you can, you don't consider yourself right wing, well, you were, you know, head over heels for the guy that people on the left were describing as, you know, this far right extremist
tyrant, basically.
So, So one more thing to keep in mind there is, it's basically what I was saying before, is we want to understand where we are. But at the same time, it's important to keep in mind that right and left kind of function as a club. The left in particular functions as a club. That is why they have far more rigid standards. And they will let you know if you're a heretic or not. So, you know, leftism basically does a good job because the left just wants power. They want power to continue ensuring that the leftward shift continues. And as such, they have more of an insular kind of quality, right? There's a lot of squabbling within the left, sure, but it's like, I mean, for example, look at it this way. You have, you know, Adolf Hitler is by Jonah Goldberg and many, you know, National Review types. They try to make him out to be a leftist. Sure, fascism and National Socialism had their left-wing, elements, right? They have some socialistic elements, but there was never any doubt to, you know, communists where the National Socialists and, you know, the Italian fascists stood. Now, we are neither fascists nor National Socialists, obviously. We are American Nationalists and Identitarians. But it's just important to keep that in mind. I want you to conceive of the left as kind of a club. They have, you know, very high standards to get in terms of ideology, right? You have to drink the Kool-Aid and so forth. So, and that's why you see centrists at the same time, like, you know, Tim Pool or others, being lumped in with us, and it actually forces them our way, right? Sargon of Akkad used to be far more of a centrist than he is now. That's because the left has been made it clear that you're going to be an unperson. You're either with us or against us. That's kind of the best way for the left to be understood. But anyways, guys, we know what we need to do. We need to have revolutionary discipline. We need to have a revolutionary mentality, right? This is not, you know, while for many of us, this is just going to be a club to hang out with others of like mind, and that's okay. We have to understand that we are fighting for something that is the most important thing. That's why all of you are here. So we are going to have to take risks. Sure, we could just stop doing this and hope someone comes along, but, you know, are you going to be able to look your kid in the eye in 20 years and say, I just kind of gave up. I gave up. I saw people getting doxxed. I gave up, right? The show is going to go on one way or another. You know, applications after the IE leaks, right, for AIM have been higher than they were under the previous organization. The people we're bringing in are top notch, absolutely. And I can say that the chapters that have the strongest bonds of brotherhood and fellowship, right, that where it's not just, you know, oh, I've seen this guy for 2 hours a month for the last 3 months. No. When you're getting together at least once a week, you're good friends with people, right? Maybe, you know, your wives are friends, your girlfriends are friends. These are the kinds of communities that are going to last. These are the kinds of communities that haven't seen huge departures as a result of the leaks, right? And that's why the community stuff is very important. It keeps people in. And to be able to have a big social support network after you get, you know, if you get doxxed or if something else happens is huge, right? We've been able to get people who got doxxed as a result of the leaks jobs in the movement. We need more of that. We need more of that. So recruit your friends and family who are of like mind to the organization, assuming they're up to standards as well, because we need to build up our networks as big as possible. I think that once we've won this, we'll look back on the networks more than anything else and say, okay, this is really what did it. But, you know, the activism is a great way to spread our message. Something that we absolutely need to do more of. I've been trying to encourage the broader right to do more of as well. I'd like to see people mobilize the energy of Trumpism and get, you know, hundreds of thousands of people doing acts of civil disobedience, perhaps, you know, big protest demonstrations, swarming congressman's office, demanding action on things like censorship, right? Unfortunately, most on the alt-right at this point don't seem terribly interested. I don't know why. I understand people are busy, but this stuff is very important. But the activism is important. It's absolutely indispensable. The networking is as well. So you need to find a good niche for yourself, right? I've got people in my local chapter who can't really do much activism. Guess what? They're at every meetup. Every meetup. That's fantastic. I'm at basically every meetup as well, so I deserve a little credit too, but you know, it's kind of my job. I'm not doing it though because I have to. I'm doing it because it's, you know, I enjoy it. Absolutely. So Social media is a great place to reach out to people. You can do a lot of work recruiting, Breitbart comment sections, right? You know, promoting our page, telling people to join us. I want to see more of that, guys. I need to see you guys being more active on the internet, going on subreddits where people have our views. Like, have fun with it, guys. It's you. You'll, once you start seeing the results, you see people applying because you message them. You see people joining the organization because you reached out. It feels good. You understand that you're doing something constructive. So, anyways, that concludes everything I had for you guys today. It's been a good day. It's been a very busy one, handling a lot of boring but important stuff behind the scenes in terms of administrative stuff. You know, there's really no end to it, but that's where this stuff is not the most glamorous or exciting, but it's very important. Also, thank you to everyone who donated the desk to me. Just in case there's any confusion still, I never went out to people and said, I want you to do a fundraiser to get me a new desk. When it comes to me personally, I'm very hesitant to ask for money, and I don't really feel good about doing it. Now, if I, you know, suffered some freak accident and needed, you know, help with medical bills, sure, I would do it. But, you know, when it comes to like, hey, please, you know, hey, guys, I need you to fundraise like a new Xbox, you know, a new, I don't know, something like that, then yeah, I wouldn't do it. And I would because I wouldn't feel that it's right, and it wouldn't be right. But the desk thing was a surprise. It was a number of patrons and members of the organization who got together and crowdfunded a nice desk because, as some of you know, I want to do more videos, more live streams, and I'm working at getting that set up soon. And they thought it would be nice for me to have a nice desk, right? Because we don't want me to have some $20, you know, crappy IKEA desk for these live streams. We want to represent the organization well. So just to, you know, people, the fundraisers that I've promoted in the organization have been for other people or the organization. I have no issue asking for money for the organization, right? I feel zero like guilt or, you know, awkwardness about asking people to donate to the Docs Fund, the Wikipedia Fund, which is ongoing, Wikipedia process rather. So just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind that, you know, these, I will promote fundraisers quite often, but they're not for me. So anyways, guys, we will go to questions, comments, and concerns. Got one here. When is the footage from the Philadelphia action to be posted? I'm talking with our content team. I was talking with them earlier today. That is a good question. I think I actually have an unread message to check. So, but that should get posted this week. I think it should. When will Amran videos be posted? That's a good question. I think they will probably be posted sometime in the next week or two. Twitter celebrity Wai Hun Zhang says, thank you, my friend. Our encourage, work hard, activism, our focus. I am not allow us replace. Thank you very much, Wai Hun. If you guys aren't following Wai Hun Zhang on Twitter, you should absolutely do that. One of the best, one of our best allies of color. Absolutely. I'm being asked if I was happy with the results of the Philadelphia action. I actually haven't seen it. I heard it went pretty well, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. All right, if you have a question, be sure to type it out. I don't see anyone typing at this point. Give it another minute or so. We have some people who are could be typing out an essay. I would hate to cut them off. Make sure to ask these questions on Discord just so it's easier to keep the same place. If you want merchandise, I would advise you to go to my pinned tweet, and you can send me a message on Mattermost with what you want, what size, and so forth. The prices and the list of what we have are on the pinned tweet. Fellow here asks me, are you ever going to do any gaming streams? Fortnite duos with Fortnite. That is a good question. I could do that if that's what the Zoomers want. And obviously, there's that quote about, the future belonging to those who win over the youth. So maybe it would be better for me just to stream Fortnite and not do anything else. Something to consider. I don't know. I mean, I think there are perhaps some of the Gen X and boomers among us would not want to have a representative playing video games. They would see that as unprofessional. But yeah, the younger generations might like that. So I don't know. I mean, I would be open to doing it if it was, strategically worthwhile, I suppose. I will say this. I have played Fortnite because I was convinced to by someone on Twitter. I'm not very good at it, so I don't know if I'd be representing us too well. Question here. Would it be a good idea to wear GoPros while postering in case Antifa harasses us? Sure, it's not a bad idea. Someone here says, we recently had our Telegram shut down as an order from leadership. What steps are needing to be taken for group chats outside of official Mattermost channels? So we have regional teams for Mattermost. If you're not on your regional team, shoot me a message. And within those regional teams, we have private channels for states and or cities. So, we just want everyone on the same platform. We don't want to have people chatting here, chatting there, just keep everyone on the same place. And Amarin Craig Johnson mentioned doing more activism based on memes or current events. How we can we capitalize on this in the future? That's a good question. The thing with memes is you have to it's a very sensitive thing because you don't want to be cringe. And if you go out there, I mean we did the Clown World meme, right? Back when the NPC meme really blew up, when it hit normie consciousness. That would have been a great time to do NPC activism, but I think that ship's kind of sailed. I'm open to doing meme activism, but you got to keep in mind the meme thing is like really hit or miss. If you do a meme wrong, then you are cringe, you are blue-pilled, and you're just going to get made fun of. So it's something to keep in mind. One of our female members here says, please do a joint one with Nick Fuentes. Solidify the caps lock bromance. I wasn't aware there was a bromance, but maybe a few Fortnite duos could change that. I don't know. All right, guys, anything else? Any other questions? One of our members says, you're doing a great job. Thank you. That means a lot. I do enjoy this, but it's not the easiest job. It really isn't. Come back to Texas when you get the chance. We enjoyed hanging out with you. Thank you. Yeah, I've actually been to Texas like three times in the past 6 months, but Looks like at the end of the summer, I will be going back as well. And guys, keep in mind, if you ever want to invite me out to some local conference, local event, activism, I am more than willing to travel. It's part of the job is going around meeting people, getting to know you. So if I haven't come to your chapter, or even if I have been to your chapter, just keep that in mind. Plan an event, bring me out. I will come out. Okay. Was our across the pond friend and Ambrand not allowed to publicly show support of us? Notice the tweets got taken down with a hurry. Yeah. So we met a fellow from a European identitarian group. Great guy. Yeah. So he wasn't aware. There was a miscommunication. He tweeted out a picture of him at the AIM table saying like, we have forged a strong alliance with, or something like that. With yeah, representing his group, and like the kind of the people at the top of his group were like, kind of can't do that. So, you know, the European identitarians, they will, you know, retweet us and you know, be friendly with us and so forth. But you know, from a branding perspective, they, you know, entering into formal alliances, they'd rather just, they're focused on Europe, and that's okay. And they just, you know, seeing the alt-right and just kind of how chaotic everything's been, they've been wise to be a little hesitant, but. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of room for brotherhood and friendship from, you know, our brothers and sisters across the sea. So, guys, I'd also like to remind you, if there aren't enough meetups in your chapter, you know, definitely press your chapter leader. You can come to me if your chapter leader is just not doing anything. I promise not to tattle on you, but you know, you can plan meetups, right? If nothing's planned for the weekend, like if you're sitting here right now and there's no meetup this weekend and there are people that you know would get together, don't, you know, have a little initiative. Just go to your chapter leader and say, hey, is it cool if I get something together for Saturday? And then do it. We just don't want, you know, you shouldn't feel, we want people to exercise initiative and to have drive. And if you don't, if you're not used to thinking along those lines, it's probably adversely affecting other areas of your life. So now would be a great time to do that. But you have to be able to temper your drive with I don't want to say caution, but you know, you have to be skillful, right? You can't just plow ahead with, like, you can't just go out and do some massive action without, you know, seeking approval. That would be one example. So. All right, well, that looks like it's it for the questions. Thank you all for joining us tonight. One last thing, I should have said this at the beginning. So I did make the announcement. There was evidence that the pledge server was infiltrated. Well, part of the reason why we don't have pledges on the national server or the regional servers until they've been vetted three times, including one in-person vetting, is for that reason. You don't know. People can slip past one interview. We haven't had anyone get by in-person vetting, at least not yet. There's always a potential it happens. I'm 99% sure I've located who the leaker was and deactivated him. But let's just keep this in mind. Don't say anything on any server that you wouldn't want to be public, right? Anecdotes about your life. Anecdotes, you know, oh, here's my social media. Just say very little about yourself, right? Other than maybe like your feelings or your thoughts on a political issue. That's just the way we're going to have to do things. You know, this is, there are always going to be people trying to infiltrate. And I think with our new setup, we've really mitigated the potential for there to be a lot of damage done. Right? These messages are deleting pretty quickly. Maybe there are ways around that. I don't know. And we're strongly patrolling the personal information. So even if you're not too concerned about offering up personal anecdotes about your life, don't do it, because we don't want to have an environment in which everyone's doing it thinking it's okay. So please just keep that in mind. And I will be harsh about this. I will be harsh in a non mean way, if that makes any sense, because it is that important. When people get doxxed, it does kind of harm morale, right? So we can't have that happening. But anyways, guys, they're not going to stop us. We're going to keep going, even if we have to adjust strategy, whatever. We're going to see this thing through to the end until we win. So thank you. Have a good night. Thank you.